Hey, this is the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez from The Real Ass Podcast. Thanks for listening, but did you know that we do the show live every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern? You can watch live, join the chat room, have access to the video version of the show, and access hundreds of hours of archives if you sign up for membership at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code RAP when you check out, and you'll save $1 on monthly network membership. We got a bunch of great shows on the network, including Legion of Skanks, The Just the Show, High Society Radio, SDR Show, and the brand new Tim Dillon Is Going to Hell. Once again, that's gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use promo code RAP when you check out. And best of all, you don't have to listen to this commercial.
This is The Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
Well, not quite.
Not exactly.
Not exactly, but close enough. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to The Real Ass Podcast. I am Dave Smith, filling in for Luis J. Gomez. I'm joined, of course, as always, by Chris Tinkle and Zach Amico. What's up, boys?
Hello.
What's up, buddy?
Is that a CBC pin right there?
This is just CBD. It's just good for post-fight, just good for the muscles.
It's for anxiety. It's good for muscle inflammation. I heard if you...
Doesn't get you high, but it just makes you... It's just very good for the muscles.
If you drink like 4 or 5 beers with that, it's good also.
That really helps the muscles.
If you got so much.
You're talking deep tissue problems, you're going to want a couple tall boys with that CBD.
I remember the first time anyone...
Make fat girls good looking?
I remember the first time anyone ever gave me Soma. Have you guys... Dude, I just remember I had like 3 and like nothing happened. I thought it was like Vicodin. I'm like, this is bullshit. I had 2 beers. Jesus Christ, dude. Which is why every like pro wrestler dies before 45, because that's all they take for like.
There's nothing better than a sober guy's glory stories of getting fucked up. I love them. I'll listen to them all day long.
And that's where it drops off. Man. That was the best one.
All right. Well, listen, we got that was Tim, I assume, right? Who just showed up. So Tim Dillon will be joining us as well. We got a nice little group today.
Nice little thing.
Nice little greatest hits of the Gas Digital Network.
And this is the sound of us tearing up Lewis's notes that he told us that we have to do right here.
Hey, what's going on, Tim? All right. So, yeah, we really do. There's only really like 4 people who do podcasts on Gas Digital, but they're repeated over and over and over again. I think we have everybody represented now. All right. Hey, what's going on? Terrible traffic, I hear.
The Uber drivers you get now are lazy and they're entitled.
This is the problem.
But that's all going to end in January. So,
the Uber drivers, I think, are better. I like Uber better in New York than on the road. Because in New York, at least, they're all. Like immigrants and minorities.
Right.
And there's this expectation of like what a cab driver is supposed to be.
Right. Yeah,
from the
like
yellow
cab drivers.
It's like I sit in the front, you sit in the back. You get an Uber in California, it's just like some hacky sack dude who wants to talk the whole time. It's just like, dude, in California, you get an Uber, you feel uncomfortable sitting in the back. Like, you feel like a dick. Like, the guy's like, bro.
Yeah, we're buddies.
And just a 45 minute through LA traffic drive.
And you feel like an asshole for having like your headphones in. It's like, dude, I'm listening to a podcast. I've been listening to it for a fucking hour. I don't want to hear your, like, my other job, the Target story.
I don't want to make a friend in 9 blocks.
It's brutal.
But you will. I'll give you this.
By the way, very telling of Tim that he would take an Uber 9 blocks. 2 blocks. I would take an Uber 2 blocks.
Hey, look, I'm not trying to make a friend in 20 feet. Look, dude, this is kind of on you also. But I will tell you this is what's crazy about L.A., where your usual loyal host, Luis J. Gomez, is out. All of our faithful leaders. By the way, Luis really is my leader. I hate to fucking admit it, and I'll only admit it when he's not here. I just basically have listened to everything Luis has told me to do for the last 10 years. 9 of them have been a goddamn nightmare. But this last one's been going okay.
Yeah, I'm at the point with Lewis now where I'm in the embarrassing place where I have to say he's my best friend.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to say it back about me.
Literally, Lewis convinced me to do stand-up, and I was skeptical about it. And Lewis convinced me to do podcasting, and I was skeptical about that. So I don't really – I kind of owe him everything.
Yeah.
Guys, can we edit that
out? Don't say that.
That was supposed to be in my head.
You just put that into the fucking ether.
All right. Fine. Well, that's good. Well, listen, by the way, Lewis, what a fucking prick he is. Now that I said, this sheet is just all. He goes, he literally has a list of things to say. That number one thing is intro, what a success the Gas Digital party was that he threw. Which I did. I introed my show.
It was a party, dude.
But it means nothing when Lewis puts it down on a piece of paper. Yeah. And then his next thing is what how great Lewis is, which I think is just him trying to take away this joke from me.
We've just done that.
Which the first – yeah, really. I did it already.
He's like Trump because he wrote that as, I think, somewhat of a joke, and we're all doing it. You know? It's like –
Have you watched Trump's thank you tour, which is basically – it's a thank you tour, and then he just starts getting into the people who didn't believe in him. Like, it's just – he's like, one journalist was crying. Did you see this cry?
Yeah. It's
just the best party ever.
But you can't really ever do at, like, any job except for fucking president of the United States. Any other job, you have to kind of, like, hold back a little bit because you might need that person later
on.
Imagine. He's literally like, fuck everybody.
Can you just try to imagine where this man's ego's at now? This was already a guy who like,
I heard the perfect description of him. I can't remember. It's this great pundit that's always on Dana Gould's show. And he refers to Trump right now as the dog who caught the car.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
He was always just this narcissist who's like, you know, had his name in gold-plated letters on buildings and was writing books with his show and all. And then he always kind of maintained this thing, you know, if I ever ran for president, I'd win. Yeah. And everyone's like, okay, Donald.
Yeah.
And then he just fucking did it.
He won.
Like, where is this guy's mind? I'm sure this guy feels like he is a god amongst men. How could you not? Every now and then, I'll just have a good set, and I'm like, I'm the fucking truth, you know?
Right. It's got to be amazing to be at his level, and it's got to be a fascinating level where literally you tweet, and the entire world will then talk about it. Like, the gravity of one tweet is a national news story for minimum 48 hours.
Yeah, you don't even have to pin it. Just put it out
insane.
There.
Like, that is amazing.
Yeah, it's literally you could move armies with your tweets.
With tweets,
it's pretty insane.
Some comic tweeted the greatest. Some comic said, Trump starts all his SNL tweets with "tried to watch SNL," a show he clearly watches every week.
Tried to watch SNL for the 26th week in a row.
Yeah.
Now listen. What did you guys think of that? I saw a lot of comics when he tweeted about the Alec Baldwin sketch being like, he's everything we hate. He's a little baby now. But I was like, look, I don't actually think tweeting a comedy thing sucks is everything we hate. I think trying to get someone fired or like saying someone's violent for their comedy or you created a dangerous scenario. But to just say, I think Alec Baldwin's impression sucks, Saturday Night Live sucks, sad.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. Know? I think it's just more about the idea that we're still getting adjusted to a president doing that.
Yep.
Like, it was kind of funny when he was running.
Yeah.
But now that he's the commander-in-chief and it's like 3 a.m. and he's taking down Alec Baldwin, that's less funny now that he has the largest army in the world at his command.
Well, not quite yet.
Not yet.
He's just president-elect.
Right. Like, that's true.
Obama never watched Jay Farrell and was like, he sort of nailed it. But
he did probably, but he never tweeted it.
To his wife.
Yeah, that's the difference.
After a cigarette that he also did tell people he was doing.
Yeah. He didn't lead. He leaned over and told Michelle, and then he was like,
Obama's tweeting, man, Jay Farrell just keeps running the light, man.
I'll be honest, it's about time someone tweeted that. All right, so then let me just quickly, before we get lost on a million things, let everybody know I will be out with the great Louis J. Gomez. Is this? Oh, a plug song. Sorry. Plug song, Beastie Boys, Sabotage. There we go. Please come on out if you're in the Detroit area. January 14th, we'll be back at the Detroit Hustler Club along with Joe List, hilarious stand-up comedian. Last time we brought you Soda. This time we're bringing you Joe List. So we're moving the wrong direction, but the point is that we're coming. Now, Joe's fantastic. We're going to have a lot of fun. And then January 21st, me and Louis J. Gomez will be in Miami. Both of those are Legion of Skanks present shows, so, you know, make sure you come out for those. You guys want to give out some dates, Tim? You got some stuff coming up?
December 14th, 7 p.m., Creek in the Cave, Long Island City. If you're up in Canada and you're listening live, December 9th and 10th at the Dark Spots Festival, Big J. Okerson, Kurt Metzger, cool. Andrew Schultz, and New Year's Eve at Caroline's all night.
You guys got
some? Yeah, I know.
All right.
Twitter and Instagram, Zach is not funny. Snapchat me your cat, Zach Amico. And if you are listening, December the 13th, champion versus champion at the stand, me and Mike Lawrence. The Roast Battle Championship Edition. Very excited. And I love Mike, and I'm really excited. I think it's going to be great.
That is, I cannot wait for that one, man. That's literally two of the absolute best top-level battlers going at it. That should be fun. It's a shame it's just an exhibition, only one round. I'd love to see you guys go three. And yeah, Tim, that's going to be, I'm sure you'll have a lot of fun with that, the Dark Comedy Festival.
Should be fun.
That's our buddy Rob May, who runs that festival out in Toronto, and it's always a fun time. And of course, Jay Oakerson, Legion of Skanks member. And the other guy who's on 6 podcasts on this network, he'll be up there as well. Jay's opening for Rogan when he's up in Toronto as well.
Oh, no right. Shit.
You guys, by the way, I'm just letting you know, you probably can't get tickets to that.
He's going to go to the fight with him?
Yeah, he's going to go to the fight, and he's going to open for him.
Jay's actually fighting.
Jay is fighting. Jay can cut it down to 265, he's going to be in that too. No, Jay's under 265, right? Is he?
No.
I don't know.
He's in that bad spot like Fedor, except though he doesn't know how to fight, so he's in a worse spot than Fedor. I think he's 230, which is it's like a 50, because you're a small heavyweight.
It's a 50-50 Jay could beat Fedor. Fedor's taking a lot of lumps. I wanted to get Tim. I was interested because me and Zach were talking about this before. Yeah. So I guess our friend Mike Brancatelli, who's on my podcast, part of the problem.
Before we get into this, Dave, we need to real quick. We want to thank our sponsor from the party.
Oh shit!
Cannabis.net sponsored our Christmas party.
It really was a fantastic party.
Awesome, great sponsor, and we just want to thank them. They were the coolest.
Cannabis.
My favorite part of the party was it with just two kids, good looking dudes just standing around. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they said to me, they're like, we're going to go up to talk to Dave Smith, but we haven't yet. And I'm like, what are you fucking waiting for? And they're like, well, we just don't want to be annoying or everything. I'm like, just fucking do it, you pussies.
Yeah,
do it. Well, and they did it.
And then they annoyed the shit out of me. So thanks a lot, Tim, for ruining my party. I was trying to make it clear to not approach me. No, we were able to meet some of the fans. Kids. It was very cool. I love literally my favorite thing that I've done, that I do in the 10 years that I've been listening to Lewis is just that now that we have fans, when they come out, I really love that. I really do love meeting people. So that was great. And Cannabis.net is an awesome company. They're a really cool service. They let you know where all the weed dispensaries and all that, where you can get legal weed everywhere, and and they have probably paid my rent this month, so they're very good people and I appreciate what they do. But yeah, it really was a great party. Now we all partied. I did not stay till the very, very end. Zach did, and evidently my buddy Mike Brancatelli got into a little bit of a thing with the bartender.
Mike Brancatelli was chastised and admonished.
It was both great words.
By the barkeep.
I just love everything about the lingo you're telling this story.
And I guess we were all telling stories and it got a little nitty gritty and drunk towards the end.
Yeah.
And there was maybe 7 people left. And I just see the bartender pull Mike over and have a talk with him. And I'm like, oh, I guess, I don't know. He didn't seem hammered to me.
Right.
So it seemed weird. And I could tell her she was really giving him the business.
Yeah.
And I was like, what did you tell her? She's like, she said I was making people uncomfortable because I used the word faggot.
Oh.
And, so Mike was throwing fag around at the bar.
But I think he said it twice.
But here's the thing, right?
In the context of a story.
Happened is that we had, we had rented out this bar.
Right.
And then they were still hanging after by the end when it wasn't rented out anymore. So there's kind of a vibe it was our party, our comics. Yeah. And talking, and I just I don't know. My thing is always, and I don't know, Camille Paglia? She's written a bunch about this.
Brilliant.
But she goes, gay people have lost everything that's cool about them. Yeah. There's no question to me. What I was saying to Zach that I think is interesting is that, because he was saying that he thinks what happened was the bartender was with her girlfriend.
Yeah, there was
there.
A sad girl drinking martinis at the bar. Right.
And he's assuming they were together.
She got up and walked away from us.
I think this is what's so crazy about what these lefties have done. They've actually trained people into being offended by these words that they never would have been offended by before. Right. You can't convince me that a gay couple in the 80s hanging out in Alphabet City would have been or wherever. Maybe they wouldn't have been in Alphabet City. They would have been in Chelsea or something. But hanging out in the 80s would have been oh my God, I heard someone use the word fag over here. They were the edgiest, most anti-establishment motherfuckers. Yeah. And now they're right in the... And I was curious what your take on that is. Doesn't that suck? That gay people are these fucking coming over watch your manners.
Yeah, I don't know that it's gay people doing that. I think it's a lot of people that are invested in people continuing to be victims, even though they've been given more and more rights. And so as things become more equal, there is a pressure to sort of kind of drop some of the things and just be like, listen,
And well, we that's can get what happens. Married, we can adopt children, we can, you know, I don't, and then you start identifying a different way and going, well, you know what, now I'm kind of making good money, I'm concerned with taxes, I'm concerned with these other things, and people go, wait a minute, you're not a voting block anymore. You're like,
yeah,
you're not,
that's interesting.
We can't control you the way that we used to control you. We can't just, you know, wave a wand over you and go, remember, you're faggots. And
they love wands.
Yeah, they love wands. And you don't, I mean, now, is it appropriate to use faggot all the time? I mean, no, I think it's context, you know? It's like
right.
to go up to someone and say you're a faggot. I mean,
but I hate, yeah. this is what I hate about it, okay? Is that they kind of, we create this culture where context is completely removed. No yeah. one cares about context.
Yeah.
And it's just we've labeled these four words no-no words. And right. if those are uttered, it's not a matter of what you yeah. were saying when you uttered it. If they're uttered, you're wrong for uttering that word.
Yeah.
And it's almost like this weird, like, I just hate the idea. It's like this guy, Jordan Peterson, that professor
Brilliant.
In Toronto, who's doing a great job fighting against it. It's like, you can't let everybody else police language this way.
Right.
It's, look, I just hate the idea. I'll give up the N-word, okay? This is, we have right. to have like a great treaty where right. I'll be like, I'll give up the N-word. But I think people should be allowed to say faggot without everybody like losing their mind. That's automatically a bad word. Look,
yeah.
look at the context, judge. And I will fight and die for retard. If
yeah.
you're trying to take retard
right.
away from me,
yeah.
I will stand here. We will have a revolution.
I will die on the hill of retards.
Yes.
Right.
I will throw retards at you.
You know what's interesting? It doesn't end at retard and faggot. Now it's mailman.
Yeah. It's, that's insane. Because
I mean, like,
this is what happens once
yeah.
you give them an inch.
Which used to
yeah,
just
yeah.
be faggot.
Right.
Yeah, the little blue short. Yeah, it is kind of, yeah.
So that's it. You can't keep giving them words.
Yeah.
It's like, that's why I'll go like, okay, fine. If we can all, even if we sound like queers, even if we sound like faggots, we can all say the N-word instead of saying nigger. Because we'll go, okay, the N-word. Fine. But at least like there was slavery. There was Jim Crow. Maybe we
yeah.
throw this one group of people like, oh, okay, here's your thing.
Yeah.
But we can't do this with everybody.
No.
Spick can't be the S-word. And
yeah.
like, you know, like kike can't be, you know.
Yeah. I think that a lot of it comes down to, you know, the context in which the word is used. And the idea that free speech does have some consequences, you know. So, for example, if you are sponsored by Wheaties, you know.
I mean, you could just use cannabis.net as the actual sponsor.
Yeah, so, cannabis.net you know. Is going to let us probably say whatever we want. But, like, I'm a capitalist. So
use the N-word for a discount of 30% on cannabis.net.
Yeah.
Type in.
You were saying the cereal. My mistake.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I thought.
No, it's like at the end of the day, it's like there are certain restrictions on speech that can get put on when you're in a job. You're in
sure.
a corporate environment. You can't walk in and be like, what's up, faggot? You know, like there are certain things where it's appropriate to restrain and restrict speech, but in the wider world, I think you have to look at
yeah.
the context.
And I agree with you. Yeah, if you're at some corporate job or you're
right.
in a doctor's office, you can't
right.
have the doctor's
just
assistant.
Get off social media. Here's
but,
the other thing.
But we're talking
just
about a bar.
Yeah.
We're talking about a bar.
If you're at a party
morning.
For a podcast network that has all of these shows.
Right.
Have you heard the shows?
Yeah, have
yeah.
you heard one of the 12?
But I also think it's probably a chick who was dating a chick and her other chick was mad, and so you kind of she's probably just trying to
yes.
be like, listen. You know, this is offending her.
No,
I mean,
it is. It is.
No.
You know what Joe List, who, you know, if you want to check him out, January 14th in Detroit, he'll be there with me and Lewis. He said this once to me, and I thought it was a really a great point. But he goes, you know, if you – it is – and this is what I was starting with that I think is interesting about it. He goes, if you just say, you know, like cunt or faggot to a child, they don't go like, it's a trained reaction. We
yeah,
have to train
yeah.
you to feel
right.
these ways about these no-no words. And I don't actually know what to say at this point.
Well,
There's nothing we can do.
Because
like, you're right.
Yeah.
This girl probably was actually offended by it. It just kind of sucks to
I
me.
I grew up in a town where you would get punched in the face if someone didn't like you.
It was a
you.
Better regulation.
And if somebody called you a faggot, it meant they still kind of liked you.
Yeah.
Because they didn't punch you in the face. So they could say anything they wanted to you, stopping short of punching you in the face, and you'd be like, that guy kind of likes me, you know? So at the end of the day, and a lot of people called you faggot would let you see their dick. So it is a weird,
yeah.
it's like, well, this works in a very interesting way.
That's the ultimate thing. Is
when's
that,
the
I
last
think
time
so many of these people,
punched
that's
in
the
face?
Thing. This
no
is the
one.
Thing. Someone, I think they might have talked about, this might have been an episode of Race Wars. They discussed this topic with like a social justice warrior type, who we can never get on our shows, by the way. They just won't come in here. They'll come into Sirius Radio.
Yeah.
But anyway, but
they
were,
think
they're
going to get raped because just take the elevator to the fourth floor.
And I'll be honest. There's a 50-50
come to
shot.
Our friend Thank Ralph's.
I never thought about how rapey this operation
yeah.
sounds.
It really does.
Ralph's
sound,
apartment.
You know.
Shannon's a goddamn warrior. She comes
right.
with pepper spray every
Ralph's
time.
Ralph's one-bedroom like, apartment and come to a podcast.
But they, she was, and I do, I agree, I tend to agree with Tim that I think any of these people who are very like, this word offends me and I want to be, you know, the him and her, I'm a non-binary,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, it's, all these terms, it's like, I think they've never been punched in the face before. And I think that someone said something like that
to this social justice warrior, and they were like, what do you think is worse, getting punched in the face or called a mean name? And she goes, I'd much rather be punched in the face.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is so someone who's never been punched in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, what do you, you know, it's like, make it a real opportunity. Like, honestly, right now, I'm going to come over there and punch you in the fucking face,
and it's also,
or I'm going to call you a name.
You know, there are people now, and I think it's funny how, like you said, non-binary and all this stuff, and it's like, why is it such a huge deal? There have been people that don't feel sexual attraction, they're asexual, but now why is it like, why is this a group? And then you watch some of these YouTube videos, and it's people that are like, hey, welcome to Gender Playlist. And it's like, oh, I get, a lot of this is, what group can I be a part of? Because social media has made me think that every 10 seconds I have to then showcase something about myself that's interesting. And most people are not interesting.
No.
Yeah. They're not interesting. Yeah. They live boring, meaningless lives, and
so
that's
so they just
fine.
Repeat the fucking thing.
Yeah, and they go, well, I'm on social media. I got to do something. I got to update something. And then all of a sudden, everybody has to identify by these groups. Being gay is not the most interesting thing about me. Being trans shouldn't be the most interesting thing about somebody. Being, you know, what's inside of you should be interesting.
Trans is also, I mean, and I'm just saying this, no personal offense to anyone who's trans. Do whatever you want with your life.
Yeah.
But it's like, it does, like, gay people, there's a fair amount of gay people. Trans, it's like you start to just get down to such a small percentage of the population that you're like, okay, now there's not gay people, that's trans people, and then it's trans people who have a problem with this bathroom structure. And you're like, you're literally talking about, like, 0.01% of the population.
Yeah.
And this just isn't, I don't know. At what point do we, like, are we going to inconvenience 99.9% of people?
Yeah, it's like the people that say not to gender your babies now.
Come on.
And it's like, that's like if McDonald's didn't sell ketchup because a few people are allergic to tomatoes.
Well, this is also, you wonder how much, how big this group of people is that is saying things like not gender your babies. I would imagine that this is actually a small but vocal minority.
Concentrated.
That paid attention to. It seems to be very concentrated. I don't think real people are affected by this kind of craziness.
And also, as you said, like, I really like the point about, like, that you're, like, gay not being the only thing about you. I think in comedy, that's a thing you see in general. Like, we've all seen that in stand-up where there's someone, it's like, if you're not a great comic, the comic will make their only thing about, you know, this one, whether it's being a fat guy or being a Jew or
whatever,
a black guy or a gay guy. Yeah. It's like this is their whole thing. And you're like, dude, is there anything else to you?
Right.
Yeah. Really.
Well, but all of these things, like a lot of when you talk about diversity, and it's all great, you know, listen, you should have as many different perspectives as possible. But how many times is diversity just, well, we want the same perspective from people that look different.
Yeah.
We want the exact same perspective from people that look different. And then all of a sudden, let's say you are a, you know, I'm a Muslim lesbian or whatever it is. It's like, okay, well, that in itself is somewhat interesting. So that removes the burden on you to be interesting.
Right.
You know? And it's like kind of weird because it's like comedy, it removes the idea that you have to live a life that gives you perspective. Now, we could just isolate somebody on their gender, their race, their religion and go, you must have a lot of interesting things to say.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, they don't. You know, a lot of it boils down to, like, you watch some of these people's acts and it's like, what is their whole boiled? It's like, I'm a bisexual Eskimo. And then it boils down to, like, oh, they like hats, you know? It's like they come in with a hat. Like, this is not a really groundbreaking, you know, opinion.
Yeah. I also find it very, like, I think a lot of the gay people who I know in real life, or the ones that I hang
which
out with in
me.
Real life, which is you, half of Zach.
Half of Zach.
No, but I mean, like, are not a, don't fit the whatever the dumb caricature of a gay guy is, but there's a lot of people who do.
Sure.
And I got to tell you, I is not an anti-gay thing. I hate that thing.
Yeah.
Whatever that gay caricature is. Look, I'll tell you, it's the reason why, you know, he makes a few good points. I'm very turned off to, like, Milo Yiannopoulos, some of his stuff. It's like, look, if you call yourself fabulous, my reaction is to go, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think that's, like, why do I have to celebrate this kind of decadent, loud, like, annoying thing? And by the way, Milo's good. I have watched a lot of his videos and enjoyed them. I don't mean to pick him out.
Yeah.
But just in general, when you see this thing, like, the kind of, like, gay pride parade type of gay guy who's like, over here, sister, and just like, get away
from snappers.
Some of it is that that's just the way people are. And, like, you know, some of it is just like, you know what? That's their response.
But they embrace – here's the thing is they embrace this thing, and the thing is kind of obnoxious.
Right.
I remember this one time particularly, and this, I'm not trying to say this. Like, obviously, the guy comes off like an asshole in the story. But a friend of mine, Ruben Mehta, who's a comedian, died last year.
Sad.
And it's a really sad story. And and I literally got this news like an hour ago, and I was walking down the street in Chelsea, and I was talking to my friend, a mutual friend of ours, about our friend who just died. And I'm like walking down the street, and I go, yeah, dude, I'm just fucking, like, I forget exactly what I said, but I was like, I'm just miserable over this or something like that, like along those lines. And this gay guy just goes, "Don't be miserable, honey. Smile." And I was like, dude, get the fuck out of my face. I just lost my shit. And it's just like that type of like, dude, fuck you.
Yeah.
The world's not all about you. You're not fucking fabulous. Get out of my face. Yeah. And like, I have nothing against my friend Wayne. It's like very much like, I mean, you're just not that caricature. I don't care if you like dick or pussy. Yeah, it has nothing to do with that.
I get in trouble. Yeah. You know, people yell at me all the time. They say you're not really gay, or you know, you have internalized homophobia.
You need a picture of you blowing a dude or something.
Well, no, it's
people. Here, are you happy now?
People are terrified of being individuals. People are so scared. People are so terrified of being who they really are inside that anything that dresses – and I have no problem with flamboyant gay. I think it's hilarious. I think it's funny. I don't care. I've learned to not care. I don't care about anyone. Like, I really don't. I have no – I look at the world and I just go – all right. Like, the idea, it's just the way these people act. Because most people, I think, are, you will never know. You'll never know who that guy was. Like, that guy
That's
who's
true.
Like, hello, honey. You don't know who he
is. Yeah, he might have been, in a different context, that guy might have just been, made me laugh.
Yeah,
or something. You're
might
right.
Have been
sure.
Great, but at the end of the day, you're never going to know who these people are because people are just terrified of being individuals. And I think what I do is I kind of go, this is me. And it's like, that's what makes me funny is being like, well, this is just me. And people are like, wait a minute. No, it can't be. It's you're not allowed. Like, if I say something conservative on Facebook, you're like, you don't believe that because people aren't allowed to be themselves. And that's why, you know, we've descended into this fucking this fear of just identified by any characteristic.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You know. You know what's funny? I had the exact opposite, Dave. So I was like teaching in Oakland. I just had a shitty day. And, I used to like dress nice. So I was just bummed out. I just had my head down and scowl like I always have. But it was like a sad scowl. And this gay dude was like, you should smile. You look good. And that happened 10 years ago. And I still remember, dude, that dude put a fucking pep in my step.
What if it was the same guy?
It's the same guy.
He just goes around putting people down, picking them up.
He's like a little gay angel. He just goes around making people feel good about it.
At the end of the day, he balances out the universe. Like, it's just
Johnny Appleseed of gay and compliments.
Yeah, shit. All right, fine. I'm back. I'm cool with gays again.
Okay.
All right, you guys
go.
I didn't want to do that. That's not what I intended.
No, overall, dude, I do think it's good to be like tolerant of people's views no matter what they are. Even the ones that people are really intolerant of. Like, even like the fucking white nationalist guys or the black nationalist guys or whoever they are. You're like, all right, what's your point? Yeah. What do you have to say? I don't know. I'm open-minded to all of them.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever done one of the, you know, like in comedy sometimes, it happens more, I think, on the West Coast, but they'll do those shows where it's like, Refried Sundays, which is super fucking racist and super embarrassing, and it's all Mexican dudes, or they'll have like Chocolate Sundays, which is all black dudes, or they'll have like all like gay nights, and the people who like put the shows on will like purposely get a couple straight people on there to like mix it up because it's just like it's the all one note after a certain point, or like, I mean, I've been on Chocolate Sundays and it's like I'm clearly not chocolate. And, you know, because they want someone else who's not going to talk about the same shit over
and over. We're a very primitive species, and technology has advanced dramatically, but we have not. So it's like we're using all these great tools to just self-segregate and just go back to tribalism. It's fascinating, you know? You're looking at a phone that is fucking enabling you to have conversations all across the world, and what are you using it for?
Oh, yeah, but and everything's, you know, everything's like so... so unstable. Like everything about human history kind of moved like slow, and there would be these like traditions that like grounded people, like your religion and your tribe and your nationality and your this. And then all of a sudden in the last like few decades, we're like, hey, we're going to experiment with all this different shit. Look, we're going to like what we don't really look at it this way, but like women with equal rights and multiculturalism and mass migration and things like that. Yeah. This is all brand new.
Huge.
This never existed before.
Right.
Then you throw all this fucking technology in the mix, it all adds up to a stew that gives you Trump.
Right. Yeah.
All right. By the way, maybe that's a good segment into this week's Real Ass Dude of the Week.
He's a real ass dude. He's got a bad attitude. One might feel he's rude. He's a real ass dude.
All right. Remember, this comes from Louis J. Gomez, not us. But this week's Real Ass Dude of the Week, also Time Magazine's Person of the Year, joining some good company like Adolf Hitler and Yasser Arafat. Donald J. Trump, everybody. Donald J. Trump, this week's Real Ass Dude of the Week. Probably not the most prestigious honor Donald Trump has won this year. But
he will be, just spoiler alert, he will be the Real Ass Dude every week for the next 4 years.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I would like to know, of all the people that I saw a bunch of people like, yeah, well, Hitler won in 1939. which is tragic because he also should have won in 40, 41.
He got ripped off.
Oh, shit, that's a great shot. Everyone knows he won in 39. Here's what they never tell you. He got it stolen from him in 41, 42.
I was giving it again to him in 43. Yeah.
Even in 43, I felt like his legacy had a good year. Okay, so here were some other people who Lewis considered for Real Ass Dude of the Year.
Because
okay?
The Real Ass Duties are happening.
So this is going down. The Real Ass Duties are going down soon. Who should be Real Ass Dude of the Year? Some people in mind. Donald Trump, Martin Shkreli, Conor McGregor, the alligator that ate that boy at Disney, the guy who shot a gun while chugging a beer and getting a blowjob. Any other suggestions?
I'm gonna vote that
guy. Yeah, that guy's got my vote since the day we saw that.
I mean, well, Time Magazine dropped the ball with that guy.
Yeah, I can't disagree with Donald Trump being Real Ass Dude of the Week. Like I said, that guy's just having a party. I don't know if you guys saw it either, but they're talking about his inaugural, and he's going to spend like twice as much as Obama spent. Like, he's just that
guy.
What's
he
going to
do?
Just,
what's he going to do? What is spending twice as much?
It's everyone's dream.
Who knows? What does that produce?
It's everyone's dream for people to say you're a piece of shit and then win and then go around and be like, fuck you. That's everyone's dream, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's doing it, though, because you're not really supposed to do that.
He's just living
ISIS
it up.
ISIS has said they want to make it a Black Monday or Black Friday or Black something, Black Tuesday. I forget when Inauguration Day is.
It's like ISIS. Do you know any other colors?
Yeah. It
just seems like they never mix it up.
They're threatening to do like mass attacks, and it's almost like, well, this will solidify. Like, you want to make him Hitler?
Yeah, like, all right.
You want to make him Hitler?
ISIS, yeah. You know, why do you not call it Black Friday unless you're going to have sales?
Right.
Do your research.
Like, I mean,
sell flames. They're 50% off.
Yeah. Flame cages, 30% off.
I think it's like, I mean, look, I don't know what Trump will be like. I don't think any of us do. But I would imagine there would be some people who are scared of that. And the fact that Trump's the type of guy you're like, yeah, Trump might do something drastic. Yeah. Like, you come hit him, he might nuke you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Anyway, what is a real ass dude to you? This is the type of deep philosophical question that Lewis wanted me to throw to the group. When you get ready for the real ass duties, Zach, what do you look for in a real ass dude?
I look for an unapologetic nature, just being you. I think that's what it boils down to, man, in the Lewis J. Gomez mindset, being unapologetic for who you are.
Wow, that does describe Lewis. I mean, no one's ever use that as a positive for Lewis, but I understand. Yeah. Yeah, Lewis is unapologetically who he is. Guys, yeah. Anyway,
I think a male.
I can almost guarantee.
I gotta be honest. When I think real ass dude, I do think a man. And I know that's because I'm a primitive beast, but I think a dude.
It does seem like a. It's a little bit gender.
Primitive beast is also Tim's name on Grindr.
Yes, it is. Correct.
Oh, now have there been some female real ass dude of the weeks? I'm sure.
Sure.
Ronda Rousey won a time or two, maybe.
Somebody.
Yeah. This is the only female I could think of who Lewis might look up to. Is Ronda Rousey?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I don't think so.
You don't think there's ever been one?
I don't. I mean, I'm sure there's like, you know, maybe some girl got punished by a dude on YouTube or something, and like he made her the real ass dude.
Oh yeah, maybe like that Rice guy's girlfriend or something.
I think
like
a real
that.
Ass dude,
the chick that threw the shovel at the bully.
I think the real ass dude, he's man enough to think about hitting a woman, but also man enough not to.
Sometimes he thinks about hitting her and then just throws a glass
of water in
his face. Then dates her for a couple of years like a gentleman.
Has a few kids.
he might disrespect you, but he'll do the right thing ultimately. That's Lewis. All right. Well, I don't know. All those guys. Look, Martin Shkreli, I kind of love him. He kind of trolls the world. But Donald Trump, I mean, if you're picking a troll, Donald Trump trolled the entire globe, right? Yeah, so you can't beat him. And then Conor McGregor. I just don't think Lewis is puts all these guys really in the same category. Conor's had a good year, though.
I think he made this list late.
Like, how could you compare Conor to Donald Trump? Conor had a loss this year. Yeah. You know? Like, he didn't even win all
and
his
he didn't
fights.
Win president.
And then the alligator, obviously he'll be in there till the end. The guy who shot a gun while chugging a beer and getting a blowjob, that guy might be my vote. I mean, sometimes you got to take a step back and think about what really matters. I don't know. Anyone else you guys think? Any other suggestions?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody, but.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's throw Ralph Sutton in there.
Ralph Sutton. Yeah.
I just want to suck up to him. Ralph Absolutely. Sutton does a great job.
Usain Bolt. There we go.
Oh yeah, that guy had a pretty good.
I think the guy that walked into Comet Pizza with the rifle is a runner-up.
He didn't really do anything.
He did nothing.
But But that was a proof, wasn't that? That was the proof that the fake news is dangerous.
Yeah, it was very interesting. He walked in, he did nothing, he had a rifle, and everyone's like, "Well, you see what happens?
See what happens?
When you bring up legitimate questions about an incredibly shady chain of emails and some very troubling artwork, and do you realize what you're doing when you ask questions and ask rich and powerful people to account for their whereabouts?
It's really unbelievable. It's the news that then there's a school shooting, and they do okay. Let's take 2 days to do a full life spread on the guy who did that shooting.
I think they're coming for fake news. I think they're coming for the internet. I think they're coming for censorship.
You're absolutely right.
Well, this
is okay. This is what's interesting is because this seems to be what the indication is, right? So Donald Trump, you got to say, no matter what you think about this, right? This is the phenomenon that's going on, right? All the mainstream media's numbers are down. All the alternative media, the internet numbers are up. Like since the last election, there's these shows like Steven Crowder and David Rubin and
they didn't exist
in the last election. This election, they've got hundreds of thousands of viewers. But I go on a lot of these news shows on Fox News. They'd kill to have as many viewers as some 100%. Of these internet
Fox
shows
is becoming
has.
Irrelevant.
Yes. So these shows are, I won't say that publicly. But so they're going down, right? And then their numbers are going down, the alternative media is coming up. At the same time, a candidate in Trump comes up who every single speech is going around and saying, people, the media are the most dishonest people on the planet, okay?
Right.
The most dishonest people. And it points them out and calls them out, and they're cheering and they love it, and then this guy wins. He gets tens of millions of people to vote for him, and he wins running on a fuck the media campaign. And the media's response is, you know, the problem is there's a lot of this fake media out there who's convincing people
Which
that we're not
all
good.
Being controlled by Moscow.
Yes, that's their. It's a very weird. So they're going after them now. They're not looking in the mirror going, oh shit, what are we doing wrong? And you're like, it's like, okay, look, is there a lot of fake news on the internet? Sure. Yeah. But like you guys said, Saddam had weapons of mass destruction.
Well, love,
we started a war off that. They're so full of shit, too.
I love David Angelo on Twitter if you follow him.
Yeah.
He's so funny. And he just keeps tweeting these real news sites, you know, like CNN, like 48% of college students are hungry. That's real news. You know what I mean? Like, this is...
as you know, I mean, on your show, on Tim Dillon is Going to Hell, which is on the network, great show.
Yeah.
You've dug into this a little bit with, what's his name? Blanking on his name, who you had on.
Russ Baker.
Who knows all about, like, the Pizzagate and all that shit.
Yeah,
and,
it's also like, you know, listen, here's the deal. At the end of the day, whether anybody's right or wrong, or whether any of these things lead anywhere, it's not particularly the point. The point is that investigative journalism is dead. Nobody's doing any real investigations into anything.
And if you believe any of these things, right?
Yeah.
Like, forget any of the deep conspiracies. I think part of the reason Hillary lost, what really hurt her, was when that investigation of Anthony Weiner led to a thing about her, and it just put in the news, right?
Yeah.
So you go, wait a minute. So is Trump's telling you, Trump's parading these women out that are, like, accused Bill Clinton of sexual assault.
Right.
You go, wait a minute. So Hillary Clinton's husband is a sexual predator. And your best friend's husband is also a sexual like, what are the fucking odds of that?
Yeah.
What type of people are you guys? Yeah. Like, it just makes people and whether that's a kind of conspiratorial way to think. Like, you may not have all of the dots connected, but you have enough to sit back and go, this is fucking shady.
Well, I think what happens, like, at some point in this election, people turn around to each other and go, you know, these people aren't like us at all. They're not, like, constrained by any of the morals or values that we purport to have. Like, these people,
and maybe
don't
we're full of shit
fuck.
Too. Maybe we're just limited by our means.
Of course,
definitely.
We are 100%. But at the end of the day, if you're flying to an island where, you know, people have had underage sex slaves, and this isn't a conspiracy. This is fucking Fox News, Washington Post, Jeffrey Epstein, and you're on his plane 20 plus times, and you're the ex president of the United States, and people are going, and then people are getting mad at what Donald Trump said. And you're like, wait a minute, there's a crime syndicate providing underage kids to pay. And then people are like, well, Pizzagate's ridiculous. And it's like, well, is it any more or less ridiculous than the actual fact that an ex-president was on an admitted pedophile's plane 27 times?
Yeah. And you read this bullshit in the news. Like, it came out that from CNN, Donna Brazile had leaked two debate questions to Hillary Clinton before the debate. CNN's response to this was kind of like, you know, Donna Brazile's been a great journalist the whole time, but we're going to sever ties with her. Anyway, moving on. News network.
Right.
You'd think if you were a real news network, you would go, hey, on behalf of our company to our viewers, we failed you on the most epic of responsibilities.
Yeah.
We are so sorry for this. Going forward, we are setting this protocol in place to make sure it never happens. I mean, if you weren't full of shit, how would that not be your reaction? Like, that's a really big fuck up.
Yeah, they used to have, like, a person, like,
when the show started, have a piece of paper and be like, we'd like to apologize for last night's thing that happened, and blah,
for
blah, blah.
For a minor detail.
Yes.
A minor detail. Oh, we said it was 38,000 in Cambodia. It turned out to be 48,000. Let me just correct the record. A minor detail. Not this whole thing's a shit.
Right.
So it's like, even if you think the Pizzagate people are full of shit, people read that these guys are full
what
of shit.
What the fuck
too.
Is Pizzagate?
I swear
by the
to
way.
God, it's this theory that. So I guess in the emails. Some of the emails that WikiLeaks released, there were emails between
John Podesta, who's Hillary Clinton, was her campaign manager, I believe, or chief of staff, something like that. And there were some weird things in the emails, like there were quotes like, "Hey, I found a napkin. I found a handkerchief. It seems pizza related." One guy said, "I'm dreaming of your hot dog stand in Hawaii." And you read some of these emails and you go, well, people don't really talk like that. So that's some type of code for maybe something. And what could that possibly be? And then people started looking at the logos of these pizzerias in Washington, and they were incredibly similar to these pedophiles. And then people started digging deeper into this. And what people think, the hypothesis, is that it is some type of child sex trafficking ring that we know have, you know, these things have operated forever, for centuries, for the entirety of history.
Yes, and I'll tell you, if it's not, look, I've looked into it fairly extensively. It's not enough that I can say, I know this is going on. But if you look into it, if it's not going on, well, there's a whole lot of other shady bullshit that nobody's explaining.
Right. And
like, what the fuck any of this is.
I'm afraid that I will go to Comet Pizza, know the kids are getting fucked, and go, but this pizza is actually very good.
Good, that is outrageous. Yeah. Two slices to go, one pepperoni.
Yeah. The char,
outrageous,
yeah, the
sir.
Char
everybody
and the
knows. That's like shady talk. I mean, if you bought
weed, outright.
I mean, I had pot dealers who, like, I had to say, like, yeah, I'll take two Cinnabons, and I'll meet you at the mall.
I used to buy Special K, box of Kellogg's. A box of Kellogg's.
Lewis used to have a joke about this, but it was back in the day, all weed guys, like, this was like a known thing.
They're
like,
so scared,
I'm talking
about
in the 90s. Like, if you called your weed guy in the 90s and you went, hey, can I have a 20 bag? I said, they go, whoa, 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 dude. You know, they'd always be like on some, like, you know.
Are you on a landline?
I'm so sorry. Was that your joke or Lewis's joke about
Lewis,
the socks?
As I was saying, Lewis has Lewis a joke like that. Yeah, Lewis had a joke about the socks. Yeah, it was really funny.
And that was funny. Now
I need 20 bags of socks. What is your friend, the millipede?
Now what's funny is they were like paranoid.
That's our leader.
Yeah.
We used to make fun of them. And now it turns out those paranoid stoners were right, because people were listening and they were logging all of these.
I've always told you guys, your stoner friend is ahead of the curve, all right? He's whatever he's saying is probably right. You got to listen to him. I was literally going, in my mind, I was like, all right, the talk's getting a little heavy here. Let's transition out of this, because Lewis will have some stupid topic lined up for me. And I looked down at the sheet. The next topic is Dakota Access Pipeline.
He just keeps getting.
Is he just trying to do? I don't know. I just did a podcast on this, on Part of the Problem, if you guys want to go check that out. So I'm not going to go too crazy into it here, but are we let's real ass podcast this up. Lewis asked the questions. Are we letting the Indians have too much? I'll be honest, we might be. We actually might be in this case. Do you have any strong feelings on this Dakota pipe?
Yeah, I read about the Dakota pipeline, and for me, a few things that kind of stuck out to me is that, number one, a lot of the opponents of the Dakota pipeline are just opponents of oil.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, they are saying that they don't want any pipeline going anywhere, and that, you know, and at the end of the day, it's like, well, wait a minute, that's not going to work. As for how dangerous it actually was, I don't know. There's a ton of pipelines already going under the Missouri River. Now, the thing that does make it seem very shitty is that they moved the original pipeline site because people were angry, and that they said, well, we don't want this to possibly rupture and fuck our drinking water. So they moved it through this other part of the state. And that, you know, it said, well, we'll just put these people at risk. Well, that seems
right.
Fucked up.
And the water supply was also moved. And the water supply now is like 70 miles off
right.
of like,
so,
the pipeline.
I mean, it's one of those things where, again, a lot of this just becomes like, you know, there was a great article where there's just people treating it like Burning Man. You know, you have a bunch of white college kids going down there and tripping out, smoking pot, trying to get peyote.
There's a lot of, in fact, there's been a lot of Native Americans who were upset about that. And they were like, hey, we're trying to do like a real thing here. We're not trying to just have a party.
To have a real conversation in this country when people are sharing the Trevor Noah, Tomi Lahren thing and going, look at this, isn't this great? And it's like, not, dude.
I said nothing to me shows the disconnect from my lefty comedy friends
right.
and reality.
Right.
And when people share that video, like, Trevor Noah eviscerates.
No, not
Tommy
only
Lyons.
Did he not
nobody
eviscerate,
sees it that way. But it's also, nobody who's not already in your camp and right, firmly just clapping and agreeing with yeah, you saw yeah, it that way. And
oh, also, when people are like, this is his Jon Stewart moment.
Oh,
like, no, he's, yeah.
This is the moment when we all realized he's no Jon Stewart. Yeah. Not that we didn't already know that, but it was just another like,
but at
oh,
the end
yeah,
of the day, I think it's like, it's also, could you find two people who knew less about anything? Oh,
there was no depth.
Go into any bar at 2 a.m., you'll hear one guy be like, no, it's like this. And some other guy's like, no, shut up, Bob. And they know more than these two people.
Just talking points from each side, back
right,
and forth.
Right, just regurgitating garbage. There was nothing real, nothing tangible. So that's a Dakota Access Pipeline. It's like, I can't get a real story from anybody about anything.
That's true. And I think you did touch on a thing where there is this kind of like knee-jerk thing on the left. I talked about this in depth on Part of the Problem, but where they'll just kind of like, it's like, yeah, oil's bad, people are good. You know, that's it. Like, the right, business is bad. The Indians have to be good. And you'll just go part. Look, obviously, none of us want to, like, you know, piss off Indians who have already kind of been fucked over by the government and shit like that. But it's like, you do realize that, like, building an oil pipe serves a function. It's like a bunch of people who drove out there in cars who heat their homes with oil. Like, you do realize this is, like, you use oil. Energy is not, like, a yeah, little bit, like,
time
you're very that, important.
Next time you're on that flight to L.A. to do at midnight and then come directly home.
Right.
You know, maybe think about the Dakota Access Pipeline.
And we currently, all that oil that you guys consume in order to live this standard of living, a lot of that we get from, like, these brutally horrible regimes who do even worse things than, like, catcalling.
Right.
You know, like, they're really bad people. Right. And if we can produce more oil here, it lowers our dependence on them. Kind of a good thing. Yeah. I'm just saying, overall, like, it's there's none of that. They yeah, can't even recognize, like, oh, at least maybe some kids'
house is heated. And I have no doubt that the government's trying to fuck people everywhere. So
yes,
of
course.
I have no doubt that, like, yeah, that pipeline was probably fucked. Like, mm-hmm. I have no idea. Like, when the government does it, these are people in our generation that, like, adopt the posture of – they pretend to kind of be cynical, but they're really not cynical. They're really, like, true believers, and they love the Obamas. And when something like this happens, they're shocked, and they're like, oh, my God. And it's like, no, this is why we talk about an Orwellian, you know, crazy government doing whatever they want to people. And people go, well, we really don't like the Dakota Pipeline, but we don't really care about the pipeline in Afghanistan, and we don't really care about people being tortured, and drone strikes don't really bother us. We're not really vocal on these things, but we're really, really angry because we saw Pocahontas, and we love yeah, Native Americans because we want to, you know, paint with all the colors of the wind. And it's like, well,
but
why
that's it. I have a dream right, catcher tattooed on the back of my neck, and I feel very connected to the culture.
Yeah.
But that's it. It's, dude, they have kind of been brainwashed, like, yeah, their entire life. This is all they care about. It's this weird dynamic where it's like, you know, everybody, and you see this, like, on just watch, if you're a comedian, you yeah, just go on Facebook and you see all your comedian friends. It's like everybody, they all think exactly alike. They're the most conformist thinkers, and they all feel like they're being individuals. Like, I'd just like to take a breath, you know, a step out to say, racism's bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody? It's like,
rape is wrong.
300 likes.
Take a stand there, champ.
We're all celebrating each other for agreeing with each other.
It's like an old joke about a candidate. It was like, this guy's pro-family. It's like, way to take a risk.
Right. What the fuck does this mean? That was 90% of what politicians have just been up until Trump, which I think is one of the few refreshing things about him, is at least he's saying something different. But everybody else, it's just kind of like, you know, Hillary Clinton, you listen to her, it's just like, better jobs at higher wages.
Right.
Wait, what?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Who's against that? Like,
but it's also, you look at Trump and he's, you know, his cabinet, like a lot of the people, we're paying attention to a lot of these big appointments, but a lot of the smaller appointments and the things that aren't getting as much press, they're a lot of the same people Hillary would have appointed. You know, Obama kept on, you know, Bush's defense secretary. There is that just culture. Yeah. You know, the system's not designed for, like, wholesale remodeling.
No,
it's
that's
just
true.
Not.
That's true.
And the idea that the people that are overly optimistic or overly terrified about any president are strange to me, because I'm like, you're putting a lot of emotional investment in something you know is not going to really, you know.
It shows to me, it shows, and I feel the same way about, me and Lewis had this talk a long time ago where we were, it was when the Mets went to the World Series, I guess a couple years ago, and we were in a bar.
Yeah.
Were you there for that, Chris? And then,
no.
And then Lewis just started, as they're walking down, they're like, these Mets fans were like, yeah, we're going to the World Series. Like, they won and sent him to the World Series that day. And Lewis just started going, he goes, this will be a fun social experiment. And he goes, hey, the Mets fucking suck. And these dudes, he would just say it to everyone. And a couple people would just look at him and be like, all right, whatever. And then some people, you know, just lose their shit. Like, all he'd have to do is say, Mets fucking suck. And they'd be like, hey, it's because you're a Yankee fan, bro. And you're bitter because A-Rod fucking sucked. And he was on stairs. By the way, Lewis has never watched a baseball game.
No,
in his life,
Lewis.
But he's just sitting there.
In all fairness, he is a Puerto Rican in a fitted hat.
Odds were tremendously in the favor that he did like the Yankees. But it's like, if the Mets lose, and your day is ruined for the next three days, it just says to me there's something, there's an emptiness in your life. And the same thing with if you're crying because of who the president is. It's just like you don't have anything real going on in your life. So you're all, you're projecting it all into this external thing that has nothing to do with
you. I stopped having emotions after The Undertaker lost at WrestleMania.
That was it.
That was it. I was done banking on anything.
You look at what colleges, and you have like Crowder, Yiannopoulos, they go to these colleges, and then you have these social justice warriors, and they just like scream at each other. And there's a full auditorium, and you go, is anyone getting laid? Like, is anyone getting high and having fun? Is anybody at a diner laughing? Like,
I also just can't. I hate the fucking, it's everyone's obsessed with what their struggle is.
Right.
And overall, there's just, it's just that you, like, one person just has to stand in the center of a room and just be like, I don't fucking care. I don't know. Yeah. Like, by the way, like, I know, like, dude, like, I know you're gay, and I'd imagine, right, all things being equal, it's a little bit more difficult to be gay than it is to be straight. It's, I think all things being equal, it's probably a little bit tougher to be.
I identify more with my fat brothers and sisters and our struggles.
I identify as fat might be tougher. But by the way, if
Okay. I'm a member of several interest groups.
But if you're like, you are, fine.
The Irish.
All with the same life expectancy.
Not if I'm liberal. Whether it's suicide or high cholesterol, they all get taken out. But I'm just saying, it's like if you're going to go on and on about, like, you know, like, as a gay man, my struggle and this and that, eventually it's just kind of like, I don't know, dude. I mean, like my grandfather was like a straight cis white male in the 50s.
Right.
He fought in World War II. Like, what is this nonsense? And then they'll see that Jordan Peterson particularly has these YouTube videos where people, if he just goes, oh, I'm not going to use trans pronouns. Like, I don't agree that there's 72 genders. That's kind of crazy.
Right.
They right away, they start going into this, like, emotional struggle. Like, my friend who's trans killed themselves. You don't know what we go through. You don't know. Right. Like, they really do believe they're going through this, like, epic struggle. Well, and it's like, dude, if you want to put on a dress, you want to do this, fine, do it. But no one's getting on board.
Really,
like, this
fuck.
Is, this isn't an epic struggle.
We're fetishizing mental illness in this country.
Yes.
We are glorifying it. It's now becoming a personality. A personality. My mother's mentally ill. She's legitimately mentally ill. She's schizophrenic. She's in a mental institution. She doesn't have a one-man show.
Oh, that beats out the gay or
she
fat
thing. She doesn't have a,
oh,
yeah. a you well, know what
a,
I mean?
It's a five-woman show.
You know, it's a five-woman show. But it's like you look at some of these
people. She's going to be on the next season of Characters. On
you look at some of these people and you go, their Twitter handle's AnxietyMan1992.
Oh.
And you go, oh, so this is your fucking thing? This is your thing? Like, what's Bob like? He's nervous. He's anxious. You know, and it's like, what? Yeah, he's OCD. It's not like, oh, he's a great guy. He loves history.
And they're proud of it, and they're aggressively proud of
and
it.
And they don't want to
lose it. It's not just like that I'm proud of it.
They don't want to,
like,
get better.
You better acknowledge what
you
my sacrifice
it.
And that you don't have it, but I have
God
it.
Forbid I don't. I used to visit my friends at colleges, and they would get stoned all day and eat Pizza Hut, and I was like, this is a great life. And now you go to colleges, and it's just these sad, crying children attached to their phone. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so happy that I didn't do it and I sold subprime mortgages. But what
something with a future in it.
Something not only but it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. It's fun to sell a home to someone on life support who's blind. That is fun. It's fun to close a deal in a hospital room. And you look at these kids.
But there is something about selling subprime mortgages is the fun part.
100%.
You're not on the bad end. You're not coming in going like, oh, you know, interest rates have ticked up. That adjustable rate is too expensive. Now we're going to have to foreclose on your
the
home.
Fun thing
you're
is,
just going, I can get you a home at an awesome price.
We all go down together.
Yeah.
You know, once the bubble bursts, I'm out too. We're all done. You know, it's, you know, but it's sad what college has become. That's shitty. There's no more fun. No more fun.
I can't even – it's gotten to such a point that I just can't believe people are still willing to plunk down $50,000 a year to go to some of these schools.
Yeah.
And your kids come out literally knowing nothing except racism, patriarchy, and I'm offended by everything. They know nothing else. I talk to some of these college kids. I mean, I'm not saying like the smartest 5% of them who are still all brilliant. But it's like you talk to the average kid. My grandfather, who was like a factory worker, knew more than these guys do about history.
You wonder if this trend will reverse itself. Do you think at a certain point, like, you know, 5 to 10 years from now, people will be like, remember when people said they were owls and they identified as a tree and now everyone's back to...
You know, I don't know. There seems to be at least like a counter movement rising up against it.
It's
but I don't know. But that movement is strong. I think people in our world downplay how crazy social justice warriors are. It's like, because you sit here and you're like, yeah, but who really believes that shit? A couple of open micer comics.
Right.
And it's true, because good comics, no one really believes that
shit.
But if you go to a college campus, man, they have control of college campuses. It's not that they just have like a few groups. They have the professors.
But you wonder
they
what
have,
that
– They have – Donald Trump got elected, and there were mass cancellations of exams and class. Like, they have the professors. That's very powerful.
But to have the other side has the White House, the Congress, the Senate, the Supreme Court, most of the House legislatures. You know what
I
mean?
They have the White House. They don't have any of that other shit. They Those are a bunch of cucks and a bunch of fucking phony Republicans.
But no, but they have – I mean, listen, they have the state legislatures. They have them – you know, they're
You're
very
right.
close
gaining,
to being able
They're gaining some power.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's kind of like, you know
– we'll see. It's interesting.
You can sit in the quad at Berkeley and cry all you want.
Dude, how much different is this discussion than the Dakota Access Pipeline discussion Lewis was going to have?
Dude, would it would have been, yeah.
yeah. No.
Are we letting the Indians have too much?
Dude, we like an 8-minute segment on the guy that wrote Hallelujah who died. What was his name?
Leonard Cohen.
Leonard Cohen. And he knew nothing about Leonard Cohen. And he just pretty much said it so he can make fun of the fact that someone died. Yeah. And it was a very, I mean.
He's not a good person. That Lewis. But I do kind of agree with him that the Indians, it's not that they have too much, right? They've had a rough deal. But there is a little bit too much worshiping of Indians.
Well, people don't realize it was scalping.
Yes.
It was raped,
when I was a kid, this always made me feel like an asshole, or not an asshole, like my teachers were assholes. But I remember when I was a kid in like third, fourth grade, and these just like lies they'd tell you. But they'd tell it to you like it was historical fact. Like they'd be like, you know, before the white man came over, the Indians didn't even have private ownership. And they believed everyone owned everything. And they never ate more of the buffalo than they needed. And they were at peace with their...
They loved
And then you
berries.
Read about them, and they were like the fucking worst.
Well, they were warriors.
They used every part of the animal.
I think they were kind of awesome. Because they were like warriors, but it's like, hey, you know, they lost.
Okay, well, they weren't.
We invented gunpowder.
Yeah, they lost, and it's like, hey, but they were warriors, and I respect that, and I respect like last of the Mohicans. You see people getting beheaded, and you're like, oh, this is fun.
Well, that's a fair attitude to have, but by the liberal mindset, it's like, no, they weren't any of these peaceful people. They were aggressive people. They had that land because they had conquered it from other people, and then they got conquered. That's by the way, in the fucking 15, 16, 1700s, how all land was owned. Yes. It was someone conquered someone else.
There's a reason Mexicans look like that, because a bunch of different people.
Yes.
Came and altered the bloodline.
That's
so
what
that's
it is.
Why Mexicans look like a cross between all these other continents.
The reason we have this whole continent is because we came and conquered it. I don't know what else to say. But you do you really want to worship like this Native American? Do you want to go live in a teepee and fucking die in your 30s? I don't get it. Right. Like, what's the?
I like cheap cigarettes too.
I want to die in my 30s in Queens,
like an American.
Like an American.
Listen, I don't know. Isn't it enough that we had a discussion to change the Redskins and Indians logos? That's funny. Like, Lewis thinks that was enough of a – like, we never changed any of them, but just the fact that we talked about it.
How mad are people about it? Are people really mad about that? Like, is that a thing that people are very angry about, like the Redskins logo?
I have to believe it's kind of like this thing where – it's the outrage on the left where they're not really mad to begin with, but they convince themselves to be mad, and then it becomes real anger. Like, I knew this girl, Jocelyn, when I was a kid, and she was like a Jewish girl who was like raised by a nice Jewish family. Yeah. No father, though. Father died when she was young, which is key here. And then, like, she became like she started like fucking thugs, and she started speaking like a Puerto Rican. Right. And we were all like, "Jocelyn, what are you doing? You were like a good Jewish girl. You're pretending to be a Puerto Rican." And I ran into her in like her 30s. Yeah. And she was just had big hoop earrings and was talking like a Puerto Rican and has probably been fucked by a million Puerto Rican dudes. And I had kind of a
Giannis
moment
Giannis Pappas imitated her for a video. It got millions of views.
It was. We really all thought Giannis was going to break off that Jocelyn imitation. But then I almost had a moment when I saw her where I was like, oh, shit, this is you. Like, you're not doing an act anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, this is you. Like, this is as real. This is more real to you than going back to being, you know, what you were before. So I think a lot of these people are actually outraged about the Redskins now. But it started off just a phony, like, I want a thing to be outraged about.
My favorite white girl doing something like that. One of the guys in my band was black. And he started dating a girl who lived in my dorm in NYU. And I remember he was putting on cocoa butter before we went out one night. And she goes... And she was like Ukrainian white. She was so white. She was, Kyle, can I have some? I'm getting ashy.
You can catch that from black.
Yeah. It's also like, well, you know what? You know, with the name, it's like, you know, can you change it? I mean, it's like one of those things where you go, what's the less offensive option to change it? Like, or is it the logo? Like, do you want a modern Indian? Is that like a modern? Like, what is the new Cleveland Indian going to look like? What? You know what I mean? Do you want – it's just a weird – Like, it,
you know,
it's like
the Washington Native Americans doesn't have a fucking good ring to it.
Right.
And no one certainly does this Native Americans on
right,
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, does anyone think logistically about what this actually looks like? Like,
I'm also not completely convinced that it's an insult to begin with. I mean, it's their team. It's like the Indians.
It used to
They're
mean
there.
Something. So, like, I mean.
The guy seems happy.
Yeah.
I mean, if I looked at that, I wouldn't even think it was an Indian. Like, I would, I would be like.
It was like a cartoon who ate a hot red pepper.
Right. It's just you got the feather in the back of the head. Now, I get the name Cleveland Indians would make you think Indian.
I guess when they do the tomahawk thing, that bothers people a little bit.
Somebody's like, what if they had a team?
Right in some Indian's face.
Like, what if they had a team called the Cleveland Jews? I'm like, that would be hilarious and awesome.
Do you know, listen, as a Jew, can I tell you, my dick got a little bit hard when you said if we had the, fucking Jews. Brooklyn Jews or something like that, I'd move back.
Right.
I'd leave the Upper West Side tomorrow.
Yeah.
The team at Heebs.
What are you doing tonight? You got spots? Nah, I took off. I'm going to watch the Heebs.
Yeah.
The Bensonhurst Hasidics?
Dude, I got third row Heebs tickets. Are you crazy? I'm not doing it. I'm not working Heebs. Tonight.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a lot of the thing where I'm pretty sure. I'm convinced that like 80 to 85% of the offendedness comes from white girls.
Yeah.
And that it's not really Native Americans or minorities or any of these other things. It's white women who, I'm sorry, do not get to count in history's
like
life underclass.
It's like the Fighting Irish Notre Dame. The Fighting Irish is a shitty leprechaun.
Yeah. You know yeah, I mean? Look at that.
Like, it's a
the
shitty,
Irish love it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Have a fucking beer or two, Indians.
Who
enjoy the game.
Who cares?
The Fighting Irish love
Every race has a crass stereotype depicted somewhere.
Yeah.
Aunt Jemima. You gotta take Aunt Jemima off now.
And black people love Aunt Jemima.
Everybody
loves the Irish love that fucking leprechaun. They all love these people. You're right.
You know, the Olive Garden, I don't know if it has a but the idea of just the Olive Garden is a fucking such a WAP Dago.
Oh,
name.
They really should have like a
look
a
at Chef Boyardee.
Chef Boyardee, any of that shit. Like you could make a list of 50 to 60 of these fucking things.
Dude, anybody who can design the cartoonish racist logo for the Olive Garden. Please tweet that at us.
I mean, well, look at any character of Satan. Look at the devil.
Uh-huh.
What does he look like?
A black? Wait,
no,
what?
He's
sorry, that was just like a knee-jerk reaction.
It's a character of a Jewish person.
Wait, let me see this.
Bring up any cartoon of the devil. What does he have? Big nose, the goatee.
Oh my God.
Satan historically
Satan is a Jew.
Has been portrayed as a character of a Jew.
Well, have you ever seen the movie
Satan? Can I ask you a question? Now, hold on. Let me just tell you about the interest rates.
Have you ever seen March of the Wooden Soldiers? The villain, it's like a Laurel and Hardy movie. The villain is a guy named Barnaby who's got this beard and this big nose, and he goes to the little woman in the shoe. He's like, "Where's the rent? You're getting evicted." And it's like, "Oh my God!" Like so many of these fucking things.
Oh yeah, then he uses the fake sausage to think one of the three little pigs got killed.
Yes. Total Jew move.
That's really fucking hilarious.
Yeah, throughout history, every cartoons of the devil are characters of Jews.
Dude, did you ever see the have you seen pictures of Hitler's like Jew propaganda? Hitler, I think he just had like his thing was just called like the Ministry of Propaganda because back then these words hadn't been like tainted or to be evil. Like he was just like. He's like, propaganda, everybody.
Yeah.
Get your hot propaganda here.
He actually called it propaganda.
Yeah, like it was, or whatever the German word for it is. But the Jewish thing, it's so
just pictures
hilarious.
Of Ari Shaffir.
Hey, dude, look at that. Close enough.
I mean, dude, they're all just fucking.
What's that picture that says stop him with Hitler in the dope ass hair gel? Whoa.
Don't kid yourself. It's up to you. Stop him. That might have been our propaganda. I don't think Hitler was putting that one out.
Their propaganda is way cooler.
That is, each one is more Ari Shaffir than the last.
It's just like two giant balls with the swastika over it.
I could see where I'd start hating them too. That's just kind of a hilarious.
Is he smoking
one.
What is that in his mouth? Sardine?
Jew cigarette?
Do you like Jews? Are they in the sardines?
And there's, I mean, I recognize Marx, by the way, in that last word. I'm pretty sure that's German for Marx. So yeah, that was the theory that the Jews were all a bunch of commies. By the way, that's how Hitler convinced everybody they were coming to take over.
I mean,
over.
I think as this Trump inauguration brochure is a little inappropriate. I gotta be honest.
These were only given out on the thank you tour.
It is slightly offensive.
It's you know, Trump. By the way, I think he's just going to the like the swing states that gave it to him. Like if you didn't vote for Trump, you're not getting a stop.
No, you're not getting it. But he loves the rallies.
Oh yeah, he does.
He loves the rallies. He might be the only president 4 years just. rallying it up.
Maybe he should. He's look. There is something
I don't
about
think he golfs, so that's just going to be his thing, dude. He's just gonna
he just owns golf courses.
But he's free, or is he charging like these people in North Carolina who don't have a pot to piss in?
Dude, that
$20.
Dude, it'd be great if it was outrageously high. Yeah. Yes, listen, it's just a thank you tour. $65.99. Yeah. You get right in.
Listen, $100 VIP. You're right in the spit zone. He'll spit on you.
And none of these shit goes to charity.
Pay $150 for Springsteen.
Right.
But look, he did. You know what? He kept hitting everybody on the campaign. Remember, he used to say about Jeb Bush, he would say, low energy Jeb. And then he would say about Hillary, he'd be like, she doesn't have
crooked.
The stamina.
Right.
And there is something to those insults. The man, say whatever you think about Donald Trump, the man has the energy of God. Like, he's doing, like,
well, he's
five
tall,
rallies
he's got
a day.
Hair. You know, the thing when you like, you look at Rand Paul and you're like, well, he makes a lot of sense, but he looks like a tiny mouse.
Yeah,
and
he's like, small. Not, I've met Rand Paul. He's
a
he's
tiny
not big.
Little man,
yeah.
And it's like, no one's electing that.
Yeah, and he doesn't, you know, there is something about that alpha male shit. Like, that's who we put up as our alpha males, and you don't, I've met Rand Paul. Rand Paul doesn't exactly walk into a room and let you know he's the leader. And I've never met Donald Trump, but you really get the feeling that he does.
Yeah.
Dude, I met
Hopped
Dice.
Up on Adderall, just fucking.
Dude, I met Andrew Dice Clay at, so I was doing Red Eye, and he came in to do, like, a segment in the middle.
Yeah.
And so we're on the panel, and we all break, and then he comes in. And I was on the panel, and Kennedy was next to me. And Dice walks in the room, and it's like
he's still
energy.
Got it, right?
Yep. You're like, dude, that, like he's, I know he's like older now and shit, but he's wearing the jacket. He's got a cigarette. You're like, that's fucking Dice. You become like a little girl almost. Like that's a, and he comes over because Kennedy. You know, you forget. Like I know her from the Fox News shit. You forget how deep she goes back and has been around the MTV. So he comes right over and he's like, Kennedy, how we doing? And he goes, Andrew, so nice to see you. And they like kiss. And I've never felt like Kennedy was cooler in my life ever. Like it's like you know Dice. And then he goes on. And he does. Some people just have this energy. I've heard people talk about like meeting Brad Pitt before and people like that, where you're like they walk in a room, they have this fucking, they take over. And I think Trump does have that. He'd be on the debate stage, and everyone's just focused on Trump.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, it just draws your attention in.
Yeah. Well, yeah, everybody was being like, oh, everyone's racist, everyone's homophobic, and all this, they're xenophobic. Like, they don't, they're really kind of not realizing the things that this guy did, which are, I mean, whether you love him or hate him, truly amazing. The way that he turned social media and weaponized it in a way that nobody could have expected.
Dude, he won for like $5 a vote or something like that.
Dominated
like,
the news cycle with every story. I mean, really amazing. And at the end of the day, you know what? He never apologized. People didn't realize the strength of not apologizing. Every comedian, every fucking person, they run, they go, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. He never did that. And he rode that all the way to victory. And it's amazing how people really just want to see somebody just not fucking back down.
Well, they also want to blame the other side. It's very easy for the left to go, oh, racism, you know, sexism. Right. That's why he won. He played to this thing. Their side's evil and our side isn't.
They'd have some more credibility if they didn't nominate somebody who went into Haiti with her husband, raised billions of dollars and built an outhouse for them, and then left. I mean, these people.
They do. Listen, by the way, here's my big thing, right, is that there's like, look, is there some bigotry on the right wing that's kind of ugly? Sure, there is. I just think there's far, far more on the left wing. So when I hear them talk about it, it's just kind of hard to not roll your eyes because they're like, nobody. First off, it might be anti-white man, but it's still racist. And nobody's as racist as you guys are in that direction. I mean, I'm talking about, well, you might say, oh, there's like a couple white nationalists here and there, who support Trump. How many socialists are there on the left? How many people who, you know, whatever it might be, wear Che Guevara t-shirts or praised Castro or just say shit like when Lena Dunham put that tape out about the white male genocide and how great that would be.
Yeah.
You're going to call out racism, but the people on your side advocate for genocide? I don't know. I haven't really heard that out of any Trump supporters.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to take that shit seriously. Racism exists, but it's all around. Everybody's racist.
Yeah.
Like, this is what the left doesn't get. It's like, yeah, okay, if some black guy is walking through fucking Alabama tonight in an all-white neighborhood, yes, he might experience some racism. But if I were to go walk through East New York tonight, I might also experience some racism. It's all around. It's not just on one side.
I would be safe in both places, and that's why.
Here's the thing about being
you look like a crooked,
a
cop.
Fat gay with a schizophrenic mom.
I will be fine no matter where I am. I've
that
walked
is,
through
the
East
cop
New
look.
York.
That is a great. The
I've
cop
walked
look.
Through East New York, but I look like also like a crooked cop. I look like a cop who's on the dole. Like you would never shoot me if you hated cops. You would never shoot me. Oh, yeah, like the 759. That guy's a guy that helps put product on the streets.
Interesting thing, yeah. But at the same time, they don't want to mess with you because you're the guy who will like just 100%. Shoot someone in LA.
Yeah, you know, it's weird because I've walked through this horrible area. I used to sell mortgages, and you'd walk through these areas, and you'd be like, "This is horrific." But it was fun. I used to buy drugs in the Bronx, and it's weird. I mean, it's just a lot of it's luck too. But like, people would look at me and go, well, "There's something. What's in there?"
Buy drugs in the Bronx. We're in the Bronx.
Uptown by the 3rd Avenue Bridge.
Wow. So that's a fucking shitty area to go buy
drugs. Yeah, it's bad.
Drugs,
I mean, we used to buy yellow cocaine. I mean, the kind of cocaine that's rock that you'd have to sit there with a grinder and really – I mean, that's a cocaine that gets stepped on 3 or 4 times.
And what was the – because I will tell you, I hate the process of having to buy drugs in a shitty
I mean,
way.
I don't remember so much because I was 14, but –
Wow, you were young going hard, huh?
Well, you make friends with buddies in Long Island, and they just go. My friend Hector was like, we're going to go get blow. And we just got in the car, and I was like, ooh, this is cool. We're going to the Bronx. Well, what were you going to say? You hated the process of grinding up?
I hated the process of a shady drug, of just like waiting for somebody
or going
somewhere.
Very scary,
very
disturbing.
Like, oh,
sitting in a car outside a project or on a street.
Oh, it's the worst, man.
Yeah, man, but you know, you're 14, you're dumb.
Yeah.
You're 15, you're like, well, you smoked a blunt on the way there. You don't know anything. You're like,
that
no,
does
but
help.
We don't, we're like, we don't get killed.
Yeah.
We're not.
Everything's gonna be fine.
This doesn't. We're like, I remember driving my Chevy Suburban, hopped up on Molly with acid in my glove compartment on the way back from the city, being like, nothing happens. I'm fine.
Dude, like, there's so many times like that. Just as a teenager, you're like looking back, and you're like, man, I put myself in such a bad
situation.
That's
why I'll never deny like an element of white privilege is completely true. Is because it's like, oh God, I should be. I mean, I used to get high in high school and be like, I want to go, and I would take my friends in my truck and we'd drive around the nice areas because I'd be like, I want to look at the estates.
Yeah,
black people can't do that.
I'm definitely on the side that the response, like, short of
looking
this person,
at the estates, is what black people call driving across country.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm with you on the fact that I definitely feel for, like, when especially when they're younger, man, when they're like teenagers and shit, and cops just start opening bullets like quickly.
It's
and
crazy.
Like,
it's hard,
dude. Come on, man. Like, I don't know. Even if you're doing the wrong thing at 17,
but that's the thing I like about you is you're not this pro cop Nazi that you find a lot of people on
the
conservative side are like, no, we're in grave danger. And the police and Giuliani, we've talked about this. How
they're all at the end of the day, it's like they're all a bunch of fucking pussies.
Right.
Like they all talk this game about being tough guys, about we're for small government, we're for freedom, we're for this and that. But then when it actually comes to it, they want some other strong men to come with guns to come protect them. It's always like the cops got to run everything, the military has to run everything. It's like, so no, to me, like, the cops are like a fucking – I hate the fucking cops. Right. They're the worst. They're a criminal organization. They literally go around just harassing, kidnapping, and threatening people all day long. If anyone else did what they did, you would look at it and go, wow, that's an awful fucking human being. Awful. So, yeah, fuck them. I'll be on Fox News in about an hour, everybody. Don't tell them I said that. Anyway, all right. What are we –
What tapes over there in an hour?
Kennedy.
Oh.
Yeah. Where are we doing on time here? All right, what do we got here? All right, Tom Ford says all men should be penetrated at least once.
That's also why the Democrats lost. That was one of Hillary's slogans that they rejected. Yeah. All men should be penetrated once.
I'm sorry, I'm terrible.
Then they went with I'm with her, which is similar. It's the same thing, but
shorter hashtag.
Shorter hashtag.
Yeah.
I'm with her just rolled off the tongue.
Pegging's now a thing. Chicks are fucking dudes.
Well, that's been a thing for a while, but I don't think it's that
popular.
And that's
a way nicer name for a violent act, dude.
Yeah.
Pegging. I don't know. I guess this shows something about the cuck generation that we live in. The chicks, cuck porn in general is like very popular again, and it's kind of in that vein. I got to say,
creepy.
I do not get into any of it.
No.
Maybe it's my own insecurities, if you want to say, but I don't like it.
No, it's definitely my insecurities. I'm going to watch them do my girlfriend better than I can do it.
At the risk
you
of sounding...
Can't go back for that shit.
Say, I don't want to sound like an asshole here. Who is Tom
Ford? Is a
fashion designer.
Filmmaker. No, actually, that guy is the filmmaker, I think, who did...
Okay.
Nocturnal Animals that just came out with
Jake
Gyllenhaal.
Okay, all right.
So but basically what happened is he got interviewed by some journalist, and he like propositioned him, and the guy was like, what? And he like pretty much, he gave this great speech and this great point about how all men should be penetrated at least once so they know how it feels to be like a woman. And so he's going on some, and someone picked it up, and so he's going on this tour telling everybody that guys should get fucked at least once.
All right, by the way, this is how hilarious it is to just look at notes that Lewis gave you. I mean, the notes I have for it is, has Tim been penetrated?
Everyone tried
so that's
to
my
jerk,
question.
Everyone tried to jerk off to a story about Tim being penetrated.
That's the follow-up to has
right
Tim been penetrated.
So, yes, I have. It's not easy. It's tough.
Yeah, wow.
Very hard.
Dick, big dick?
No.
That's, I mean, that probably helps a lot.
Here's the other thing about big, there's not a ton of big dicks.
In life, you mean?
In the world, there's not like there's not a million big dick. Like the chance of the big dick is far fewer than people like make it out to be.
Okay.
When you watch porn.
So porn
you
is
see
what's
things.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it's not like the 9-inch so dick gamble. Or whatever it is. Yeah. This is not a.
Yeah.
I mean, it's around. But it's like,
I
you
feel
know.
So much better now.
Asian porn dicks are like mediocre at best, and that's like a billion people. So
right. You know, you don't want a big dick.
And they still go crazy making noises.
I'd have to imagine in the gay community, if you got a big dick and you're a top, you got to find a real whore. Like someone
who's
really.
Yeah, but here's the thing. In the gay community, it's funny. Like the less, like the really effeminate dudes get fucked so much more than me because that's all they're doing. And it's like, so in this community, if you're less of a man, you're so much more of a man. Like those dudes,
right.
Like those dudes are just fuck slaying everything. Whereas it's like, you know, I'm nowhere near. They put up crazy numbers to a point where it's like, this is wow.
Yeah, it's very hard for me to imagine getting into. I never even like a finger in the butt. I don't really don't get into butt play. Not
that's
my
a
deal.
Little too prude. Not
yes,
even a
no.
Finger.
That's what. Well, that's why I'm saying it might be my own insecurity. I don't look. I've like had a couple girls put a finger in my butt. I've never, maybe just never done it good enough, but I've never like got into it.
Is there a way that you can do it good enough?
And
yes,
I do. Right when I said it, I looked right at Zach, like Zach.
Zach's the guy to show you.
Yeah, it's, you know, something a little. Hey, how
what are you?
It's nice.
Zach, have you been? What's the most
move?
You've been penetrated, Zach?
The most I've been penetrated, conscious.
Oh Jesus!
Is
shit.
A finger.
It's gonna get dark.
You guys want conscious or Cosby first?
Yeah.
What happened unconscious?
I've told you on the show before, I've had a marker and a girl stuck a blunt wrapper, like the plastic shell.
Well, that's just kids having fun.
Up my ass. Because she was mad and I got too drunk to fuck her.
That's just people. That's what college should be.
And you guys already smoked the blunt?
We put a marker on this guy's ass. That's what college should be. Not we attended a rally about fucking, you know, whether transphobia in pets is
a problem. I just don't listen.
Yeah,
if you're
anyone could draw fucking cocks on someone's face or like dickhead or asshole, that's old.
Yeah, it's just so hard to like, I feel like the college thing now too, it's so funny, is like you can be, and this is not just college, I think this is actually like rampant in like the feministy open mic comics in our scene, where it's like this thing that you can be like a raging whore. Like a drunk raging whore, and then if you have one story of anything inappropriate happening, you're now a victim forever. You know, like you're in this thing, like, you know, one in four women are sexually assaulted, and their story is like, well, I was blowing these three guys, and one of them came in my hair, and I said only on my tits, and then you're like, oh, cry me
a
river.
Like, nobody has any flaws anymore. A fat woman is body positive. A whore is sexually free. Like, nobody's, like, there's no negatives to anything. We try to just appropriate all these weird, like, trends to whatever. Some fat chick gets out and goes, hey, I love getting fucked and getting drunk. And it's like, look at her. She's powerful.
And she gets to play Barbie.
Yeah. She's unafraid.
And and it's so anti, whatever the force that is comedy is, it's so anti that force. Like that force, if everyone sucks, that's way better for comedy. If everyone's like, you're wonderful and you're special and you're special, but if I go, you're a whore, you're a drunk, you're fat, you're, like, that's just funny. Just like, that is just
funny.
That's
why nobody cares about fucking comp. That's why, like, nobody gives a shit. You know what I mean? Like, so it's why, ask any of your friends who aren't part of the scene what they want to do this weekend. None of them say go to see a comedy show. None of them.
Yeah.
None of them.
Yeah.
None of them.
At least a few are coming because we're still in business.
Right.
But our friends.
A few, but here's the reality. You're right. There are a few coming, but it really has become a thing that, like, people just, you know, are just kind of like, they've been burned too many times. They've been to too many things and seen just shitty people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's just the unfunny people invaded comedy and then defend each other. So if you say somebody, that kind of sucks, then 10 other unfunny people band around that person and say, no, fuck you.
Well, it's a weird dynamic you have in comedy where they're not really – I mean, some of them are getting some stuff within their own, you know, SJW scene.
Yeah.
Like some of them kind of get that and get some people behind them. But they're not really like getting like, you know, they're not like getting the respect of other comedians or things like that. But they do have this like internet presence now where they're well, you know, it really to me is very disturbing. We've talked about it on Legion of Skanks a lot, but I hate it's one thing on the college campuses. But the idea of bringing that environment to comedy where it's like, oh, if you say something offensive to women, we'll meet in our little group and go over it and do that. I mean, I just like comedy. Comedy is a place where you can't say something that might offend somebody.
But
I get the fuck out of here.
You're about 5% of people are comedians and about 95% of people are sick.
Yeah.
And they are to do something for 15 years with no tangible results makes you sick.
And there also are a lot of people in this game of comedy, and every stand-up comedian knows it, but there's a lot of these people who it's just like, you were never really supposed to do comedy. And they're delusional, and they just won't admit it, and they don't
and
get it.
And that guy,
like,
by the way, that UCB rapist was the biggest, loudest liberal out there.
Oh, I love that part of it, too. Yeah. What's his name? Sam Morrell had a funny joke about that. On Sam Morrell, if you didn't see, was just on Conan. He had a great set. He had a funny joke about that where he was just like, he said something, you know, all his jokes are pretty dark and edgy. And he goes on one point, he goes, yeah, he goes, I'm a good guy. I said, I like edgy comedy or whatever, something like that. And then he goes, you know, you want a clean comic, Bill Cosby is your guy.
Yeah.
So it's just, but it is, it's like those guys who are the, you know, it's like the congressman who's sounding the alarm for the, you know, we got to come down on these gay people. Turns out to be sucking dick. The liberal who's out there, like, I don't know, you know, I don't know any of those guys who are champion social justice warrior. I'm an ally of the feminists.
Right.
There's some weird shit going on there. Trust me.
Absolutely.
Always some weird.
But that's every fucking girl in blogger goggle glasses who's the first one yelling about rape culture. That's the one that gets drunk and asks you to choke her.
Right.
Yeah. No.
It's a smoke, there's fire situation.
Nope. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. All right. What do we got here on the rest of the set? Does it live? Is that a regular segment that you guys do? Does it live?
It's a new segment. He just does this because he fucking irritates me. Because I don't like shit dying, so.
Why'd you have to talk over my whole fun new drop?
Oh, that was new, right?
All right, give it to me one more time,
Shan.
Okay,
here we go. Sorry, Shan.
Does it live or does it die?
It was great.
Thank you.
Thanks for putting all the work in.
Thanks.
That's why they pay you the big bucks. All right, what do we got here?
Bitch.
Yeah, the title of this is Hawk vs. Cat.
Oh, this is not going well.
Oh, dude. Okay, before we start this, anyone care to place a bet? I'll give you 3-1 odds. I'm going Hawk.
Hold on. Well, is the Hawk a white male? Because he's definitely going to win.
Society
always win.
I mean, Lewis gave a bad link because if you read the link, it kind of gives the.
I did not read the link. If I get 3-1 odds, I will bet $1 on the cat.
All right.
I'm betting $1 on this cat.
Oh, dude, I can't watch this.
I want to watch it.
Okay. Not looking good for the cat.
Now, the cat's trying to pull guard right now. All right, so for you guys just listening on audio, we got your classic hawk-cat situation over on a fence. Looks like a hawk has swooped down and captured a cat. In his, what do you call those?
Talons.
Claws. Yeah, claws. And the cat is alive, but he is in a lot of pain.
He's slowing down.
The hawk is Donald Trump. The cat is the American media.
If you're looking for a metaphor here.
That helps you out. Oh, man. What did the hawk do? Just choke him to death? What is the hawk doing?
I think he's, like, stabbing him up with his fucking, with his talons, but I don't know.
I'm getting less and less confident about my dollar. The tail is wagging.
Well, Zach had big plans for that dollar.
Now, what does a hawk do with his cat? Just flies away with it?
Remember when you were a kid and a dollar could get you like a decent, like, I would, as a kid, I'd be like, I'm going to get like a bag of chips, a
quarter
water.
Like, should I save this?
Two bags of candy, some Mambas.
No.
And then, dude, I would always buy something that had like 20 pieces also. Like,
remember that feeling? You have like $2 on you and you'd be like, I got options. Like, I'm going to go fucking get a bunch of shit.
What?
Oh, cat's starting to wag his tail to let the hawk know he's happy. Maybe psychological warfare.
This is like pro wrestling if the cat's...
By the way, if
the cat's paw goes down three times
it's over. Yeah.
I did see the first half of this video, by the way. If you want to throw the volume on, it's the most hilarious hood shit you've ever heard.
Are the people just, oh, shit.
Look at that claw grip he got on his ass. Look at it.
This is who's watching this, by the way. You ever see the Family Guy, Damn Nature, You Scary?
Oh, he finna eat real good.
Oh.
Yeah, by the way, pause it for a second. These black guys don't try to save the cat. They just fucking sit there and let this. It's a cat. It's one of the animals we've chosen.
And they don't sound terrified at all.
I would at least throw something at the hawk.
And no one's like, oh, shit.
Let it happen, baby.
Let nature live. That might be someone's
pet. Murray Rothbard would not have saved the cat.
No, that's not true. Murray Rothbard would have said that someone might own that cat. This could be a property rights issue. Damn it. Don't get into listen. In Liberty and Ethics, Chapter 5. All right, go ahead. Keep playing.
See this shit. Y'all finna see it, too.
I love this guy. I can't even try to
eat
him. Y'all gonna eat good tonight.
Oh, he's just about through. He's just about through. I'm waiting to see the outcome.
Results pending.
The fuck did I get to pull up on this shit? Really? Must be my type of day, huh?
This is what you consider your lucky day?
The early bird get the worm. Fuck that. The early bird get the fat cat. Mm-hmm.
It's just rapping over here.
Is that noise of a dying cat?
No, that was a black man saying.
You're going to do something real quick.
I mean, nature is scary.
What's funny is, so I can watch all those like fucking plant. About birds. I can watch all those.
You said about hours.
A domesticated cat.
Yeah, I can't watch like the live shit, dude. Like,
I think you don't touch me. You gotta.
And also, they
the
fucking
touch.
Cut away. Like they don't show the 3 minute. Fucking stabbing.
No.
Are you gone with him now? Okay, next perch.
Oh, he just took him over to like another spot on the fence. Like he's moving around. I guess that's part of killing him, is just shaking around.
We must stop killing each other. That's hilarious.
We weakened him up real good.
That's sign.
Yeah.
That's really amazing.
All right, I'll shoot back through. All right.
Dude, he took the bird through. All right, that we're good on that. He took the bird through behind a sign that said, "We must stop killing each other." Because if you could sound from the guy narrating that, there's a lot of killing going on in that neighborhood.
There was a story on Fifth Avenue. There was a hawk's nest where a bunch of hawks lived on this building. And then the building said, "We don't want these fucking hawks." So they threw it out. And then all these liberals and environmentalists were like in the park dressed like hawks going like, "Don't fuck." And the hawk just moved across the street like, "I don't give a shit. I'm a murderer. Yeah. I'm a killer." Like, I was like, do these people understand what hawks do? They just kill things all day. You know what I mean? But that's how dumb.
Dude, I had a – so this is at my mother's house. Like, my mother's, like, old apartment. So I used to – she used to live in Brooklyn. And she – so there's – at her apartment, I guess, like, in the bathroom windowsill, there was, like, this bird's, like, nest, like a dove or something like that, like, made a nest – like a nice little New York City nest. It's really amazing. You see, it's like part. It's like Camel Lights, cigarette boxes and twigs and things like made into a nest. And had these two eggs there. And she just let them. My mother just let the dove like have their eggs and chill out. And then they had the eggs, and the eggs hatched, and the mother dove was still there. And then the bathroom just started to smell like bird ass. And my mom was like, "You got to help me. I can't get to it." And you had to like, I had to go out on the fire escape and like clean off the wet, so basically just destroy this home.
Yeah.
So I get out there and I'm up with a broom and I'm on the fire escape and I'm going to just sweep this fucking thing because it stinks like bird ass. I'm just going to sweep this thing off.
Much like the villain in March of the Wooden Soldiers.
I'm just really just again, and I look over. I'm not making this up. Okay, I look into the tree. And I go to do it, and I hear the dove is in the tree, and the dove starts going like, hoo, hoo. And I was literally just destroying this dove's home while the dove, like,
you
just looked
you
at me.
Right.
And was like, my family. And I imagine, like, if I were to, like, because I left, and I went back to my apartment, and I was like, a little fucked up over it. Like, what my mom just made me into some, like, Nazi that I had to, like, I wanted no part of this. And I would say, like, how funny would it be if I, like, and just poetically just... if I got home and the dove was just like holding my TV over his head and I just like smashed it and he was like, "How does it feel?" Like, nah, we can all do that. But he never did. But I'm still worried he's coming back for me someday. But anyway, that cat had a family is my point. Okay. While you guys are all sitting here talking about nature, cat had a family and probably never see it again.
That
by the way,
might have identified as something other than a cat. You're gendering. You're making the cat.
Should have
a
identified
cat.
As fucking
hosted
hawk
by my own petard.
Did you even ask the cat?
That's right. You're right. I apologize to the cat or whatever.
Yeah.
Species that was whatever you identify as. Zach owes a dollar. I think we'll just have Zach put the dollar into the Real Ass Podcast Fund to keep growing this fine program. Okay.
That's right.
What is our final? Okay.
Real ass questions.
Oh, yeah. Real ass questions.
Give me a fucking answer. Give me a fucking answer. Give me a fucking answer. Give me
all
a
right. Real ass questions. Now, who reads the questions? Because I don't have them pulled up.
You
read them? Okay. Guys, please don't make the question, "Has Tim been penetrated?" Because we covered it. All right. What do we got?
There's only two questions this week, actually. The first one is, should I send Dan Soder the script I want him for or wait until I have the money to make it?
Probably
ask Dan Soder.
Both, no.
I'm gonna go ahead and go out on a limb and say, don't wait for the money. Don't even wait for the script to be finished. Flood Dan Soder with anything you have, okay? Send him that.
Is your
send
name
him,
Martin well, Scorsese?
So, listen, I want you to send him tweets. I want you to send him your thoughts, your journal,
Flood Dan Soder, okay? Look, I don't know. Dan Soder's a busy guy, okay? He's out there on the road.
Ask I'm Dan lucky. Soder. What are you asking
I'm
us?
Lucky if I can get a minute or two of FaceTime with Dan Soder a week.
I do think Dan Soder would love to make a real ass movie.
Always been a dream of his.
It's a dream, but I think maybe you gotta go hit up his agent.
Money will probably make it a more attractive
offer.
Hit up
his Jew.
That's right. And those Jews, they identify as Jews. All right, what's the second question?
Second one's from Bonnie McFarlane. Was Dave Smith an original member of the Property Brothers?
Ooh.
Wow. That's, I'm going to be honest and say no, I was not. And then I'm going to need to know what the Property Brothers are.
It's two dudes who kind of look like you on HGTV flipping houses.
Oh, I do know who those guys are.
Yeah.
Oh, ha, ha, ha.
Oh, yeah, they do kind
of
look like you.
Oh, I'm Bonnie McFarlane. I'm one of the four female comics, so I think I can go rip on everybody. Yeah, I guess I do kind of look like that guy.
It looks like Ralph and you, but the
Bonnie's
same
just sitting
face.
Home watching HGTV eating bonbons. What a suburban life.
All right. Well, that's kind of depressing that we only got two comments, and one of them was from a friend of ours.
The other was from Bonnie.
Yeah. Ooh, look at that. All right. What do we do you guys usually rap on any particular way? I'm good.
Nope, just outro music.
Just outro All right. Music.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for having me and Tim in. You guys do a great podcast. I'm so thrilled with how much your listenership's been growing over the last year. Keep it going, guys. Good job.
That's all, folks.